No, it's a great privilege to be speaking with the hugely pioneering and influencing British singer-songwriter Joan Armatrading. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Suzanne, hi. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolute pleasure. Now, of course, a great many artists tend to be known for one genre, but what makes you so exceptional is your ability to cross genres from soul to pop, reggae to jazz to blues. Has that always been your intention, and when did you start exploring different genres?
I've always liked different genres, and straight away when I started writing, I started to do that. You know, music is music. I love all types of music, and because I'm a songwriter and I love all types of music, it's quite natural, I think, that I would want to try and write different things. I've noticed, though, lately, because what you say, a lot of people get known for a certain style and they stick to that, but I have noticed lately with Lady Gaga and Rihanna that they've started to do different things. If you listen to Lady Gaga, she kind of does pop, and then she goes into this heavier kind of rock, sort of rock type thing, and Rihanna's done some things that are kind of a little bit more folky, and then she's tried to do some rock type things, and so I think that's healthy. I think it's quite healthy to try and, you know, let people know that you're into different things.
Absolutely.
And the thing about, I would say, that's very similar to me for Lady Gaga and Rihanna is that you do know that it's them. Whatever it is they're trying to do, you know, whether Lady Gaga's doing that heavy kind of country rock thing or Rihanna's doing that kind of more folky thing, you know it's them.
Yes.
And that's really nice. I think that's nice. And I think whatever I do, I think you know it's me.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. I mean, that is a great mark of a great artist, isn't it? That as soon as you hear the first note, you know it's them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're the first ever UK female artist whose blues album debuted at number one and wonderfully, you know, remained in the top 12 consecutive weeks. You also nominated for a Grammy in the blues category. How did that make you feel?
It feels really good. I mean, I have to say I was surprised. I would have thought somebody else would have done it. And something else I've just been told by Paul Gambaccini is that I'm actually the first British female singer-songwriter to come out of Britain and have international success, because there might have been other female singer-songwriters come out of Britain and have success, but they weren't singer-songwriters, they were singers. So that's, you know, that's like a new thing I've just learned, and that's pretty cool.
Oh, absolutely, yes, more than cool, that's phenomenal. I mean, yeah. did you always feel that you had it in you to write the blues?
I feel I have it in me to write all sorts of things, really. Usually when I write an album, I put in all kinds of things. So if you listen to the different albums, you'll hear one song is very jazzy, one is very pop, one is reggae, one is blues, one is country. You know, all the different CDs have lots of styles on them. But in 2003, I think it was, I made a CD called Lover Speak. And I decided on that CD, a couple of things. I decided that I would play everything myself, apart from drums, and that's what I've now done for the last four albums, including this new one, which will come out in 2012. And I decided, but I've always played everything myself on my demos, but I'd never done it on a record. And I thought, well, I fancy doing it. So I did that, and then I decided that I wanted to have a kind of a theme. And the theme that I wanted for that was that it sounded kind of acoustic-y, even though it's not just me playing acoustic guitar and nothing else. It's got, you know, bass and drums and stuff and piano and stuff like that. But it's got a very acoustic sound to it. Then I decided that I wanted to write a blues CD, just blues. So I wrote Into the Blues, and that's the one you just mentioned about kind of breaking quite a few records. And then I decided I wanted to do a rock CD. So the one after Into the Blues, which came out in 2010, was called This Charming Life, and that's rock.
Mm-hmm.
So this next one is jazz. So I decided to just kind of do a theme rather than my usual kind of one song blues, one song jazz, and just kind of have a a theme going through.
Yes, yeah, that sounds great.
So that's what I've done.
Mm, that sounds a great idea, actually. And otherwise, you know, so many different genres you can pop into. But I mean, I was going to say about your album, Lovers Speak, because you are really a multi-instrumentalist, and I'm glad to hear that you picked up the drums as well now, because it was drums and horns that you weren't doing.
Yeah, well, drums I can play. I could play drums when I did Lovers Speak,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't play drums on Lovers Speak or Into the Blues or This Charming Life because I don't think I'm a good enough drummer to play on my mm-hmm. records. I'm good enough for everything else, but I'm not a good enough drummer. So I asked Miles Bold, and he played drums on Lovers Speak, Into the Blues, and This Charming Life. But on this one, I've kind of decided that I, because what I do normally when I do my demos is I kind of program the drums and use and kind of put in my own bits and bobs and just kind of make the drums the way I want them. And so on this one, I've done that, and I'm really happy with what I've done.
Fantastic.
So I don't know, I'm still making up my mind. It may or may not stay with what I've done, but
yeah.
I'm really, really happy with what I've done. So.
That's all you can want, isn't it, as an artist,
well,
you know, to keep satisfied with what you're doing. I mean, going back a little bit, I mean, I read somewhere that while in your first job, you couldn't be parted from your guitar and you used to play in the tea breaks for your fellow staff. I'm just curious, what did you play for them?
Well, no, I've never been a play for... My mum used to say, John, why don't you ever play for me? No, I've never been a play for people person. I tend to write my songs, and especially when I started first, I would just write but I did take my guitar to work, and I did write songs in my break. I worked in an office, and I would take my guitar in and play for myself. If they heard it, fine, but I wasn't playing for them, and I would generally try and go somewhere, because when I'm writing, I need to be quiet, I need to be on my own. But it was pretty obvious that, you know, because you couldn't prevent me from my guitar. And then my boss gave me the sack, because our boss, the boss above her, asked me one day if I would teach his daughter to play the guitar, and my boss didn't like that I was doing that. And next thing I knew, I was being fired.
Best thing that ever happened, Joan. And of course, any performer or musician knows how it feels to work in between gigs and how to keep yourself sane at this time. But, you know, you really have to love music, and you've said that, you know, you write because you love it, which is crucial, I would imagine. But aside from love, what other traits will see an aspiring singer-songwriter through the inevitable ups and downs of getting themselves known?
It is love and a passion for it is the thing, because if you feel that that's what you live and breathe and eat and sleep, this thing, that will see you through all the ups and downs. That will see you through any kind of rejection, any kind of no, you're not good enough. As long as you are truthful to yourself, as long as you really, really, really believe that you're truth, that you're good, and you can hear that you're good, mm-hmm. you know, because you can hear whether you're good or not. Mm-hmm. I very often hear people say she doesn't realize how good she is. Well, quite often, in order to be as good as this thing that they say you don't realize you're as good as, you need to know that you are, in order to bring it out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So that's all you've got to do, is to just be yourself, be natural, be comfortable with who you are, be comfortable with what you're doing, learn the thing that you're doing, you know, keep doing it, practice it, keep going over it. And then, as I say, all the rejections, all the you're not going to make it, all those things will kind of wash off your back.
Yes.
Even if you get upset for a minute, they'll you know, that'll go.
Yes.
And if you really, really want to do something, then you must try to do it. Sometimes you can't succeed at everything that you try, but just trying it will make you feel really good.
That's great advice, isn't it? I mean, it's just just keeping going, really, isn't it? And people will find you. They have no choice if you love it and it's good enough,
yes.
I guess.
They will find you, but you must put yourself in a situation where they can find
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly.
Not just kind of staying in your sitting room or your bedroom or whatever and playing away and thinking, well, one day somebody will discover me.
Yes.
They won't.
No, it's a mixture of both, I guess.
Yes, you've got to go out. You've got to, you know, do a pub gig or do a club gig or play for friends at a party or whatever you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do that. What I did in my case was, because writing was the thing that I was so passionate about, I wasn't particularly interested in performing, but I really loved writing. And so once I'd written my songs, I took them to a record company, and with really thinking that other people would be singing my song. But everywhere I took my songs, I was offered a contract and people wanted me to sing them. And I thought, well, the only way that people will hear the song is if I just get on with it.
Mm.
And so I did, that's what I did. But, you know, I didn't just stay at home and think, well, I hope people discover me. You've got to get out there.
Absolutely.
And this thing that, which is kind of the main reason that I wanted to talk to you, was that when I'm on tour in England, I'll take one person around with me, and I try and make it somebody that, you know, people don't know very well, just so that they can get known. And I will as well sometimes take a local artist, but I don't do that so much when I'm in England. I do it. I tend to take, as I say, the one person around with me. When I'm in America, Australia, the rest of Europe, I very, very often, as I go around the different cities, get a local support person. And even if I take somebody with me, I get lots of different support local artists. And I thought, on this tour in 2012, I'll be playing 52 dates. And it'd be great to get a local artist from every single one of those 52 cities that I'm visiting. So that's the opportunity. I'm not calling it a competition because it's not the X Factor. I'm not offering you, you know, a great big contract at the end of it and millions of pounds and a big, you know, it's not that. But it's a great opportunity because, as I say, in order for things to happen, you must do things.
Yes,
and what I want local singer-songwriters to do is to go to my website, www.joanamatraining.com, click on the link that talks about local talent, and apply to be my support in your city. So in 2012, when I get to your area, whatever your area is, you'll be the person to be on stage doing 15 minutes, showing everybody how good you can write, how good you can sing, what a great performer you are. Get them to kind of become part of your fan base. It's a great opportunity, and I'm really hoping that people will take it up. I mean, I know a lot of people have already. They've had a lot of applicants in already.
I should say. Fantastic.
And I haven't heard everything yet, and I will be the person who will say, okay, that's the person I want in Guildford, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I've heard already that there's been some fantastic things, singers-songwriters come in already. So I'm really looking forward to hearing.
I know.
I'm looking forward to seeing them because I always watch the support. Always, 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 always.
Yes. That can often be a very exciting part of a concert, isn't it, the support?
Yeah.
And you say it's not millions of pounds that you're offering here, but this is a priceless prize. I mean, it really is so exciting, you know, the chance to obviously share with our listeners that, you know, this amazing opportunity. They get to perform, I believe, a 15-minute set
15 minutes,
at the start of each show when you're on your 52-date tour of the UK.
They don't come to every single date.
No, that's
they
right.
They only come to the date of the city they're in. So if they're in Guildford, that's the city that they'll perform their 15 minutes. If they're in Derry, that's the city that they'll perform this. So every person, so they'll basically, there'll be 52 new or not necessarily new, depending on where they are in their career.
So phenomenal.
52 separate singer-songwriters opening the show for me every night on the tour.
Wow, that is so amazing. It's such a great opportunity. And so it's something that you've done for a number of years now. Obviously something that you fervently believe in, to give people the opportunity.
Yes. I mean, I haven't done it, as I say, I haven't done it where I've done it every single date like this. This is the first time I've done it like this. But I've always, always had local support in the different countries that I've that I've been touring in. I've been doing this, next year it'll be 40 years, and I started being a kind of a proper headliner, if you like, in 1976. So from 1976 till now, I've had loads and loads of local singer-songwriters support me.
It's brilliant, isn't it? I mean, you've composed and performed songs for Nelson Mandela. You've received an MBE from the Queen. You've run the New York Marathon. Mm-hmm. And you've played with some of the finest musicians in the world. It must feel like a dream come true when you started off, as you say, writing at 14. Did you ever imagine it would take you this far?
No. Not at all. Not at all. I never imagined I would meet the kind of people I've met. And that's not just famous, rich, famous people. I mean, I've met incredible people, just normal, ordinary people, if I can put it like that, who are just amazing. You think, my goodness, this person is so incredible. So I've met all those kind of people. I've travelled to so many different places that I would never have travelled to. I've been invited to see kind of buildings and places and, you know, scenery and stuff like that, that you really, as a normal average everyday working person, you don't really get to see sometimes. You know, sometimes you'll go to a city as a normal person, because travel these days is so here, it's very accessible.
Yes.
So lots of people get to go to lots of very exciting places these days, not like say 20-30 years ago. But even going to somewhere that's really exciting, some of the places that you get to go to once you're there is not really available to everybody. And sometimes as a performer or maybe an actor or some, you know, somebody like that, you get invited to some of these places that you think, wow, this is amazing.
Yes. It's wonderful, isn't it? I mean, it must be very difficult to cite, but I mean, can you think of any special moments that have brought you particular joy?
Well, one of the things, I'm not best mates with Nelson Mandela. I've been very fortunate to have met him a few times. But one of the things that I was completely amazed at was when I met him the first time, after I'd done the concert at Wembley, I think it must have been a couple of years after that, I was touring in South Africa, and I got a call to come and meet Mr. Mandela. And I just thought it was just going to be a whole bunch of people, you know, everybody meeting him. But when I got there, it was just me and him. I mean, I was so amazed at that. He was like, wow, it's like incredible.
Wow.
And he's a very special person. As you drive up the drive, there's like a whole atmosphere and an aura just around the place, never mind meeting him, just around the place. And everybody so loves him. And I went to Robben Island, where he was incarcerated for like 27 years. And some of the guards there had been people who, I use the term loosely, looked after him. And they all absolutely loved him and really wished that they could have been out looking after him now and being a part of, you know, his kind of day-to-day life. And then you meet all the people who are in his home, and they're just in love with him, really.
Oh.
And then you meet him, and then you think, okay, I completely understand why.
Oh, doesn't disappoint in any way at all.
No,
oh,
no.
How wonderful.
Very, very, and you can tell just from knowing his story that obviously he's a very kind, caring, thinking person who knows that as a human, really, you need to treat other humans as you would want to be treated. And that's why the transition was able to happen so peacefully, because he understood that this wasn't a question of let's come out and get revenge now. This was let's come out and make it work and try and work together. Mm. Not a lot of people can do things like that.
No.
But he is a remarkable person. But I wrote a song called Everyday Boy, and that was written about a chap that I met who had AIDS. And he's a remarkable person, because he died, But he was telling me about how his boyfriend's mother didn't like him because she thought her son was going to die as well. Her son didn't die. But he had all the compassion and all the kind of caring for her. And he spoke, even though he was telling me what a hard time she was giving him, he had all the compassion and genuine. I just thought this guy is, like, incredible. And I wrote that song about him and for him, and just because I just thought he was amazing.
Yes. I mean, if you can do that in times of adversity, then you really are showing your true compassion, aren't you?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It sounds like what an exciting career, what an exciting life, and it still continues, and you're giving so many people an opportunity. So, I mean, if people want to be involved, they should, for this great opportunity, they should send you an MP3 file.
Yes, they should themselves. Go to my website. Yeah. I think the easiest thing to do so that they don't have a lot to remember is go to the website, www.joanalmatrading.com, click on the link that talks about local talent, and apply. It'll tell you everything you need to do there. Very simple, and just because we need to hear you, we can't just say turn up and sing. We need to hear what
yes.
you sound like.
Yes, it'd be a very long process, otherwise you'd be here for years and years. Well, Joan, I mean, I could talk to you all day. Absolutely fascinating, wonderful talent, and it's been such a pleasure to talk with you.
Thank you very much, Suzanne.
Thank you, and just reminds me to say thank you very much, Joan Armatrading, for being on the show. That was Joan Armatrading, the exceptional singer-songwriter who'll be touring the UK next autumn 2012. Brooklyn's Radio.